You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Aloha. I just realized I was listening to some of our past episodes and we used greetings based on where I was in the world. I haven't done it in the last 3 weeks. I've been out in Hawaii 3 weeks working nonstop, but aloha. Aloha, everyone.
I don't know.
And wait, one other really important thing. What? Wait. Go ETH. Okay.
Go
well,
ETH.
We'll explain why we say that. Go ETH. We're still optimistic long term, and we're going to explain what's going on in the markets. And again, everyone's going to be like, the sky is falling. The sky's not falling. People are just looking for lower entries. So go ETH. Do your own research, not financial advice. Take a shot. Oh,
God.
Just kidding. This is going to be one of those DYOR NFAs, which is do your own research, not financial advice disclaimers, but we're going to talk deep philosophical understanding of the market, but with a fun twist. No. Aloha. Hi, everyone. This is Elizabeth.
And this is
Investments. It is Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, or whatever flavor of the day is for you, but hey, we're here. And I'm missing my favorite drink. I've been on this matcha kick. So I didn't get to get my matcha, which I might need some energy. I think a couple episodes ago, I was like super tired from waking up. Like I'm used to the time change, but I'm not used to the time change. I'm still waking up at like 2 or 4 o'clock in the morning out here. And y'all put your clocks back. Like everybody put their clocks back in the States, but Hawaii stayed the same. And so now I'm calculating, I'm like, okay, add 2, subtract 3, plus 4 equals the time on Pacific, add 3 equals, you know, I'm like going through mathematical formulas in my brain to figure out what time zone everyone's in. And I communicate with everybody all over the world. So it's not just, you know, states, it's not just West Coast, East Coast, Canada, and Europe. It's everybody all over the world. I'm like, hey, did you roll your clock back?
You know, yes. Like
I'm trying to figure out what everybody's time zone is now because it's changed officially, but here we are. And then usually, like when we roll our clocks back right in fall, it's like fall back, spring ahead. We gain that extra hour, which is supposed to mean an extra of sleep. But for some reason, now I'm waking up at 2 instead of 4. Like,
you what lost 2 hours.
What is going on here? But anyway, hi, everyone. Aloha. So we have some exciting stuff. Go ETH. Just had to put it in there. Okay. So the market's been volatile. The market's been volatile in like all across the board on every type of financial market right now. But this is normally what happens, y'all. Don't forget. And then we also have our cycles, right? So again, we said last year the cycle we had the August 5th to November 5th last year, 2024, was a down cycle, and then November 5th to February 5th was an up cycle. February 5th to May 5th was a down cycle. May 5th to August 5th, again, we kicked off May 8th. We said it was an up cycle. And if you go back into our episodes in February and March of this year, we were talking about the predictive cycles. Well, we're coming into a new cycle May 5th. I'm sorry, November 5th. I'm going back in time. We're coming back into another cycle. So May 5th to August 5th was an up. August 5th to November 5th was an up. So we're in an up cycle. We hit an all-time high on Ethereum. On, I believe it was August, it was right in the beginning of August, August 8th, I think almost.
I think so.
And our bottom, yeah, our bottom for this year was April 8th. And go back and listen to our April 8th segment, right? That's when, quote unquote, the sky was falling. And ETH was like bottomed at 12 to 1400, but we cycle through everyone. And we're in, if you're in the financial markets, if you're trading, if you're involved in crypto, if you're involved in gold, you're in the housing market, there's different traders who flip, which means that we only range trade and we do it like in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 hour cycle. And then we get in the market and get out of the market and we don't leave our money in. That's flipping or range trading, right? And then there's investors who hold for maybe like a week based on what they think is going to happen in the markets. And they'll do like longs or shorts on the market. So that's another type of trading. Then there's investors who hold a little bit long term, maybe 1 to 3 months, because they get into something new, like an IPO, and they know it's going to run in the very beginning. So they're short term traders. And then there's investors that trade for the long term. And so long term, if you look back again, like we described, if you look back at the stock market, like even a year ago, because that's what kind of started our whole cycle here, a year ago, and you look back at the prices a year ago to where they are today, we are still up. Right. Even though we're having a pullback in the market, which normally happens. But if you're investing for long term means holding long term. It doesn't mean holding a day or an hour or a week or a month. It means long term. It means that you're putting money away, which is not supposed to be, again, like your mortgage or your primary bills. You do not invest on your primary money. Your primary money pays your bills and keeps you alive and your cost of living and your food. And then you have your discretionary money, which is your high risk. So high risk means volatiles, right? So volatiles would be fast trading, flip trading, 1 day, 1 hour, 1 week, 1 month trading, because those are very volatile. Long term, which is blue chips, mid caps, small caps in the stock market, is more long term. You're going to hold it for a gain in the future. And even though there's volatility in the market, if you average out over a 10-year period, you're going to make an 8 to 12% return. And then there's new technology, which is a higher risk, but it also has a higher reward, right? And because it's a higher risk, it means that less people are involved in it, and it's a little bit more predictive. It's a little bit more speculative. But as it becomes, the new technology becomes stable and it becomes more of mainstream, then the volatility smooths out, more money comes into it, but the returns also go down because it has a better predictability. It's not as skeptical. It doesn't become as risk. And so, but then your rewards also go down because you have more people coming into the market and it becomes more stable. So when you're investing, you have to make sure that you know your risk tolerance and you allocate your investing accordingly based on your risk tolerance, right? So if you're in the market right now and you're going off of emotion and you're going off of psychology and you're going off of what somebody told you, or you hear news and you want to speculate and you don't have a financial background or investment background, or you don't know economics and cycles and trading and that, you should not be just emotionally buying and selling quickly based off of what you think is going to happen. If you learn a little bit more about cycles and what happens in the market and then project it based on the risk and based it on the type of technology, then if you're trading, you'll start to trade a little bit smarter. And the thing that we have that's going on right now is people can instantaneously buy and sell with milliseconds anything that they want to in the world. And if you have the collective get spooked and they go in emotionally, they're going to see one person sell and go, oh, it's kind of like the rumor, like, oh, did you see that so-and-so did this? Hey, did you see that so-and-so did this? And then they're going to all like spook and then everybody follows suits. And so like if we normally have like a dip or a pullback, when the rumors come out and then people with the news come out that aren't financial traders, they just want to get sensationalism, they're going to spook the markets. And so, but when we have a spook of the market and the market dips, it's also, guess who's buying in? They're getting everything on sale. It's everyone. A lower entry. Everything's on sale. And so when we're looking at charts, like if you look at charts can predict a lot because we know where the floor is. We know where the ceiling is. We know if we break out because people are predictive too. People will set like they'll set their numbers, they'll set their sell signals and their buy signals at an even number, or they'll set it based on like past performance. If they're advanced, then they'll go best based off past performance. So once you break through that buy, like you break through the ceiling, it will move up to the next leg. It usually passes through, they profit take, it pulls back, passes through again, and then breaks out. But if you have a floor and it goes below the floor, it'll pass through the floor, come back up on a bounce, and then people will spook. It'll go down again, and then it'll go to the next floor on the resistance. So what we saw right now is if we're staying above three, we're okay. And if people, you know, it takes like 24 to 48 hours to people get out of being spooked and get a little bit more logical, because you have high emotion, adrenaline, dopamine, all these things taking into factor, and trigger happy. Like, buy, 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 sell, sell, sell. So once they get past that dopamine, adrenaline, trigger happy thing, logical brains kick back in. They're like, oh, you know, look at the chart. It did this because of that. This kind of news came out. Did that really play out? No. So everyone sold off, but now they're getting back in. So again, we're optimistic. If you're long-term holding and you have money on the side, you're long-term holding. Most people, again, make their greatest wealth is when everybody else panics and is fearful. Again, do your research, not financial advice, but if you hold for the long term, you're always ahead. If you're trying to chase a market up and down and you don't have experience in trading or in investing, you're going to get spooked and you're going to sell at the bottom and you're going to buy at the top. And if we have all these investors, quote unquote, or traders that can buy or sell with just one click, and they're not studying the markets, they don't know the economics, they don't know what's affecting the markets, they're doing their own predictions based on, you know, their friend who told them something, then we're going to have a lot of volatility, right?
Right. And that's exactly what's happening right now. So the market may be down, but our hopes and our spirit is still up. We're still go ETH mode. Go ETH, always go ETH. We love to see it. Everything is
going according to plan.
It did.
It hit its bottom. So as long as we're staying above three. Yeah, it bounced. So it bounced back up to 3250. Like, if people are range trading, they're making a lot of money today.
Oh yeah, you know? And I'm sure if you were shorting the market today and you play the game and you play the longs and shorts and you play the volatility, you're doing really good today. I've seen a lot of people on social media say that they did really good today because this was really predictable.
Right. And prior to 2021, so like 2021, the ETH used to range trade all the time. It was very predictable. And then it had gone down and then it went back up, and then people started getting into it as long-term investing instead. But they used to range trade all the time, and we're going through those ranges right now. It's just setting up a different range. So yesterday it was like 3550 was its range, and then we dropped to 20. We didn't go below three, did we? We only went to 3050.
Yeah, that's the lowest we went today. We haven't passed three yet.
So it's ranging in 500. Now, remember, if you have to go back to a couple episodes or so ago, we were talking about most ranges are 250 up and 250 down, right?
Right.
And so this is a 500 range. It's 250 up, 250 down. The center right now is 3250, but 3550 was yesterday and went to 3050 today. So that's a 500 range. And so we have the people that are range trading that are traders, so they're bringing volume into the market. Then we have the emotional traders who don't know what they are doing. They're just going off of what everybody else tells them to do, or they think that they're predictive. They're like, I think I'm going to say it's a da-da-da, and I'm going to do this. And then they push a button. So, and then we have institutional and investing. Now, the other thing about institutional, like, we have businesses that have come in, institutional have come in, people that used to be in like Wall Street or real estate investors are getting into crypto the last year because of the laws and because crypto has high returns, right? But these people have not been deep in the trenches and know the volatility of the market or understand the patterns or what influences crypto the way it does, like what causes crypto to go up or crypto to go down. So these people have not been like trading it daily and for the last, you know, 9 years to understand the volatility. And so they come in brand new and they take the lessons that they learned in real estate or the lessons they learned in buying stocks, and stocks don't move that much. Stocks will move, you know, some depending if it's an IPO or it's new tech or it's AI or technology, it'll move a lot faster and quicker. And it's more geared towards news also, which crypto is. But they are trying to trade or invest based on the experience that they have for 20, 25 years in old school investing. And you can't take that same type of knowledge and apply it into crypto. You can to an underlying part of it, but it has a lot of volatility. And so they were trying to play the markets because now you can short and long and you can do, my brain is dead because leverage. I've had no sleep. Yeah. And you could do those right now, right? Where they couldn't do that before. So a lot of people are longing the market and shorting the market. But again, if you have inexperienced traders who don't know how the market runs, they're leveraging it tremendously. So they'll long it when we're close to our, you know, like when the market's running. So if the market's running, they're like, oh, that means it's always going to be running, but it range trades. So they'll buy a long at like 47.50. And a lot of the longs that came due at the end of this month, October 31st, and right now, most people bought their long positions at 47.50 because the market was hot. And that was like a plethora of people went in long position when the market was at 47.50. Now, they all came due and they leveraged their positions. So that means that they didn't have enough assets to back it, that if it dipped below, they would have to cover the spread, basically. And so a lot of those positions got liquidated. And when those positions get liquidated, then the market gets affected, which normally happens, right?
Yep.
And so think about crypto as a business model also. The people that are investing in crypto, institutional, banks, businesses, traders, have to make money somehow too. So if they're leveraging and they're doing longs and shorts, which they used to do on the stock market, like we talked about this, not last episode, but maybe the episode before. Yeah, it was the episode before. Yeah. About during COVID with GME and Wall Street Bets and AMC, that they were shorting those positions in the stock market, and people rose up like Roaring Kitty and the Wall Street Bet gang and all those people that were doing slang in the market to bring GameStop, GME, and AMC movie theaters back to life to go, quote unquote, against the corporations, right? And against the institutions, and made those stocks run. And what institutions and banking and stuff do is they will long and short to hedge their positions, but also to profit. And when people see the way that they're trading, they'll go sometimes like in the opposite of them to counteract it. And right. Then that's what causes a lot of volatility in the market. So one thing to think of, and we've had this, I've been having this discussion the last 7 to 14 days. A lot of people are saying that, you know, we're going into like a credit thing and the banks are reacting a certain way and they're afraid that history is going to repeat itself. But the one thing that you have to take into consideration is that more people are investing in crypto, right? So if you're investing normally in your stocks, bonds, options, and future, you're going to take your extra money that you have for investing, like towards your 401k or your SEP or your IRA or your, you know, like retirement plans or your college funds or whatever you're doing for the future. And then, whoops, as I dropped a glass. And what they usually are is like 15 years to 30 years out on your investment vehicles. And you'll take, you know, 10 to 20% of your income, you'll sock it away, you'll put it towards your retirement, and you'll do for long term. And so you don't really liquidate those assets. You kind of keep them in there because they're going to appreciate over a 15 to 30 year period and give you a return of about 8 to 12%, hypothetically. Well, people are going into crypto now, but crypto can be used as a form of money. You can buy things with it. You can sell things with it. You can utilize it in businesses. PayPal, Venmo, Zelle are all utilizing all crypto. Now.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a form, quote unquote, of almost currency, but it's also an investment vehicle that gives higher returns and appreciation quicker, but it's also volatile. And so a lot of people are taking not just only their discretionary income, but they're taking some of their savings income that they normally would have kept in a CD. And a CD is only going to give you a return of like 2 to 4% maybe annually, if you're lucky. Or money market is only going to give you like a 2%. And that's where most people store their extra cash while they're waiting to invest or trade on it. Well, a lot of people are taking their extra money that normally would have went into a CD or into a savings account or into money market before they go and invest it in something else. And they're putting it into crypto or into stable coins like USDC. And they're getting a higher return on that. Like USDC and stable coins, they're like a 1-to-1 on the dollar. So it's like one USDC equals $1. Again, do your own research, not financial advice. This is just educational purposes only. But if you're investing and you put that in there, you can get like a 5% return on it if you're putting it through CEX platforms, which is like Coinbase and all the other ones. And if they're putting it into crypto and crypto is on the upswing, like crypto, people who bought Ethereum on the bottom on April 8th, when we were telling you all, like, invest smart, you know, when people are saying the sky is falling, this is when you put money into your investments. It went up 4 times, 400% by August 8th. So in 4 months, it went up 400%. Now, if you took that $1,000 or $2,000 that was in your money market or your CD, you know, you could have changed your $1,000, which is like your extra money. It's not your mortgage. Don't do any of that. It's your, it's like your discretionary money. It's your investment money for the future. It could have went to $4,000 in 4 months, 400%. And the money that would have sat there in the CD probably would have got you about $10.
I was gonna say
it was only 4 months. So say you got 2% return over an annual, that would have been $20 over an annual, and you got it in 4 months, you cashed out, you would have made $7.
Yeah.
So that $1,000 in somebody's CD from April 8th when we bottomed and they all went conservative, right? Because whenever the sky is falling, everybody gets scared, they go to cash. So say they're like, okay, I'm gonna go to cash. So they take their $1,000, they put it into the CD. They, from April 8th when we bottomed up to August 8th, that CD would have returned $7. So being safe, they took the $1,000, they made $7, and they have $1,007. Somebody else who invested in crypto that wasn't their mortgage, wasn't their like primary money, it was their extra money, you know, took the $1,000, put it in, bought into Ethereum on April 8th. On August 8th, they would have $4,000 in their account. And yes, it was volatile. And yes, it was up and down. But again, your investment is supposed to be not your primary money, not your primary bill money. It's your extra money that you would use to invest. So if you have a portfolio of like $100,000, taking $1,000 as like a higher risk, higher reward, volatile, which is normally in stocks and bonds, is like, you know, we have blue chips is our stable one. Mid caps are a little bit more volatile, higher returns. Small caps are a little bit even more volatile, higher returns. International stocks used to be the high volatility where they would go 12-25% will return 1 year and minus 8 the next, and up 30% the next year and minus 12 the next. So crypto is now like replace for the international stocks on the investment. So whenever you position your portfolio, go talk to your financial planner, your CPA, and decide which way to go. And don't forget about the tax laws too. So make sure you consult with your CPA and your financial advisor on how you invest. But these are just options and different ideas on ways that people are investing in the markets. And I like crypto has been around like 2008, 2010.
Yeah.
And that was really, really, really early. So that was like super high risk that you would only take $100 or $1,000 back then. And you would have had to sit out a lot of cycles and not touch that money when it went up and down and up and down. Cause like Bitcoin, I think we looked it up, was like
$10 to $8 back when it
$10 to $8 for like one Bitcoin. So back then, you know, like, I guess that was like 17 or 15 years ago. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, you know, like investing back then, you would have had to go through a lot of up and down cycles because there's like huge volatility because it's brand new. Nobody was in the market back then at all. And like, you couldn't even figure out how to buy it back then. You know, it had to be like a friend of a friend of a friend who figured out how to buy it, would buy it for you, set up a wallet for you. And then like you bought it. But if you bought it for $10 back then, 15 years ago, and it went up to 127,000, you know, that's what, 1,270x?
Yeah.
Right? So $10 would have made 127,000. Can you imagine buying $1,000 worth of that? That's like 100 times. And a lot of people did that back then. They're like, okay, I know this is risk. I know this is like some weird thing that nobody's ever heard of, but I'm going to take the leap of faith and try it out. And they did. But even if you waited, so hypothetically you like missed that window, the $10 window, and you waited and you waited and you waited and you waited, and then you went in 2016, which is like 8 years even later after that. We pulled this up the other day.
I think I might have it open, or I can get it open. Okay.
So what was Bitcoin in 2016. I'm pulling it up now too.
Here we go. Historicals. That's not the right site.
So it's $778 in December 2016. $778 in 2016.
That's
now. Oof. Let's even like, even though say you passed up to 2016, right? You're like, oh yeah, okay, whatever. That this is Bitcoin, by the way. This, you know, okay, I'm gonna pass up Bitcoin in 2016. Let me go to 2020. 2020 rolls around. I've waited another, say you've waited another 12 years to get into the market. Okay, 2020 comes around.
$4,000.
Bitcoin is in, let's go to COVID when everybody started to freak out. Bitcoin was like $6,000 then.
Yep.
$6,000 by December it had gone up. So then it started to become prevalent. Like people started to take their discretionary income and started investing in Bitcoin because they were bored. So by December it was 18,000. So if you got in March, so COVID started like March 17th, I remember distinctively that they shut down everything because of St. Patrick's Day and they didn't want everybody to commingle in parties and stuff. So they made sure that everybody was sheltered in place before St. Patrick's Day. So we officially like started St. Patrick's Day. It was $4,000. Bitcoin was $4,000.
Oh my God.
Everybody got bored. They started investing. They got into NFTs. They got into digital assets. They started doing online, creating OnlyFans. Oh my gosh.
Oh God.
They started doing YouTube videos, became influencers. So that this was like that year that created all this stuff. We had DoorDash and Uber Eats and all the other stuff that everything happens, right?
All the stuff that we use now daily.
Right. And then back then, it's funny, I didn't even use it. Like I may use it twice.
And then Amazon too.
Yeah, right? Well, I used Amazon a long time ago, but
Me I used to go
Christmas
never.
Shopping on Amazon on Friday because I didn't want to go into the stores. But now we're in December 2020. It's 18,000 in the beginning of December. By the time we get to the end of the year in 2020, it's at 27,000. Okay, so maybe you decide and you go, okay, I'll buy, you know, $1,000 in March of 2020. Bitcoin was at 4,000. You would have went to, by December, you would have went up 7x, right? So yep. Your $1,000 would have been worth $7,000 by the end of December. And this is in 2020. You're like, oh, okay, now I'm going to get in. Now, so say, even if you bought in December, like the beginning of December was 18,000, and you're in it now, you're still 5x since then in 5 years. But you had to gone through the volatility. 2022, there was a pullback. We're down to like 15 or 16 volatility. You bought in 2022 instead, and it was like $15,000, and you bought in $1,000, right? It still went up 8x since 2022. Like, and then pullback in 2025 in April, this was just the bottom for this year, right? Like, okay, April 6th, let's see what April 8th is. I'm trying to do it.
I can't get the exact day either.
Oh, wait, you know, I can go to 1 year and that would probably pull it up better. Okay, so April bottom. We were at, this is Bitcoin. It was at 76,000. The sky is falling. Everybody's like, the sky is falling. It bottoms, quote unquote, at 76,000. It's still up long term if anybody got into those other spots, right? Because you're holding long term. It went up to 127,000. It went up 50 grand. So it went up, you know, 40. What? I'm trying to calculate it out. 76 to 127, $50,000. So it went up like 40%.
Yeah, call it 40, around
somewhere
40.
Around there. Okay, but if you bought into ETH, ETH was bottomed out. Let me find ETH. Just so you guys can put this into perspective, because everyone gets so emotional when something happens and like, you're looking at, like, instead you're looking at the tree instead of looking at the forest. You're like staring at the trunk of the tree and you're like, the market has a pullback today. But if you pull back and you look from the time that it starts till now, the cycles it's gone through, you're still up long term no matter what you do,
right?
And so like ETH, yay, we've had a bounce. So ETH, now think about it again, long term, right? Long term, April 8th, let's go to April 8th. 1386 is one of the numbers I have, but I think it went even lower than that. 1386,
I see 881.
In four months it went to 4950. In 4 months. You didn't have to wait 5 years or 2 years or 15 years to get a 4X. It went up 4X because people buy things on sale. People use your discretionary money, your pizza money, your coffee money, your like a little tiny sliver of your money market. They put, instead of putting the money into the bank, and this is what banks are concerned about, people put it into crypto because you get higher returns and you can use it, quote unquote, as a currency. And so the laws that passed this year about the Genius Act and the other acts that passed for crypto gave way to where we could have stable coins. And what a stable coin does is when the markets are fluctuating and people get fearful, instead of cashing out, they move their money out of one type of crypto and they put it into another type of crypto, which is a stable coin. And it's a one-to-one to the dollar. So whatever value put in, if you put $100 in, you take $100 out, it does not fluctuate. So instead of putting their money back into the bank, and this is what banks are concerned about, is they're not as liquid anymore. And people think that there's other reasons banks are concerned about. Banks, okay, we're probably getting in something that y'all shouldn't know about, but banks make money by investing your money in other things. And yes, it's FDIC insured, and it's up to 150 or 250,000 per account. And if you go to take your money out, it's guaranteed that it's going to be there. And when you have cash, your cash is one-to-one. Well, stable coins are 1-to-1 too. But they can get a higher return usually, or you move it into crypto, move it out of crypto, move it into stable coin, move it into crypto. But most people's liquid is not like sitting in the bank like it used to before. So the banks don't have a lot of like hypothetical money sitting in their liquid for them to invest. And so they've been investing in crypto also, and they're creating stable coins. So they are trying to catch up to the times. But if they were smart, they're still going off of like old school, right? Old
Right.
school is like the gentleman's club. It's like the old school. It's a thought process that you have for 100, 200 years, and you don't evolve and think of to adapt and like go on what technology is going on right now. If they were smart, they would drop the interest rate on credit cards. Credit cards are like 29% to 39% right now. So if
Oof.
somebody spends $1,000, they could owe $400 by the end of the year extra, which is $1,400. If they were smart and they wanted people to be more liquid and to deposit more money into their accounts so that they could use it for other investments and they could do loans at a higher interest rate of like 8% to 10%, then they would offer some type of incentive for somebody to put their money in the bank. But if the money in the bank is not getting any returns whatsoever, and you're paying fees to keep your money in the bank, then what's the incentive if somebody's making a 5% return and not paying fees?
There's no
Right?
incentive. I don't see one.
Right? And that's just on a stable coin. So if the banks were smart, instead of saying, boo-hoo, the sky's falling, everyone's using putting their money into other investment vehicles, into other ways to store their cash. Other people are buying gold. So they're taking their cash liquid and buying gold, which isn't deposit. It doesn't move. It's a static asset. It sits there as a rock on your dresser. And it doesn't, it, like, the only way it appreciates is if, the value of it goes up because of supply and demand. But you can't, like, today, maybe in the future you could. I couldn't, like, go take a bar of gold to a hotel and say, can you slightly, like,
Can you swipe
take a
my gold?
sliver of it so I can pay for my hotel room tonight. Here, can you take a sliver of it so I can buy a cheeseburger? Hey, can you take a sliver of my bar of gold so I can buy a pizza? Like in the future, you might be able to do that, like if it gets to that point. But right now, it's like close to the same price of Ethereum, like one Ethereum. But Ethereum, you can move it into a stable coin, you can cash it out, you can send it to your bank, you could spend it. You can use PayPal, Venmo, Zelle. You can use all different types of different resources. So what I'm trying to tell you all is to think in advance of the future. Think about how the world is going. Think about outside the box. Like think differently. And you're still in the beginning, even though we're like, hey, you could have bought it for $600 10 years ago. Think differently. Even if you held, you still had so many different entry points where it still appreciated in value. And yes, it was volatile. And yes, laws changed it and things happened in the market and people were scared. And then it dropped down and then people went back in. But that happens in any type of new technology cycle, any type of like, anything new, an IPO that's new, you're going to have volatility in the beginning, but you also have the highest risk and the highest reward. And so you adjust based on your risk tolerance. And if you're very conservative, find another investment vehicle because you won't be able to stomach it. If you're high risk, or if you are, then like you go open your drawers right now. Everyone has that junk drawer. Go
Always.
find all your change in your junk drawer, and maybe it adds up to like $9. Or go, like people used to take their loose change and put it in like a dish near the door when you walk into your house.
Yeah,
Or
the key dish.
right. So you have like all your change. Or like I keep it in my cup holder in my car. So like I have change in my cup holder in my car. Or you have like your change, like people would put it in a water bottle or something and collect it for, a vacation or a trip. Take that money and invest it in high volatility and watch it and spend only $10 so you can see the fluctuations of the market. You can see how it goes down and up and down and up, and you start to see patterns and cycles. So again, it's all your perception. If you think the sky is falling or not, we always go through cycles long term. Out, you're always ahead of the game. Do your own research on financial funds. But you know, when the sky is falling, the people who've generated the most wealth and the wealthiest individuals bought at these key times. And we're not even anywhere near the April 8th bottom. Like, we only had like a, what, 10 or 20% pullback, which really isn't that much.
That's not a lot in the long term. Not at all.
Yeah, it's not. And we're still ahead of like the numbers that we were at. So like, even if you invested, you know, later or earlier in the year, you're still probably up. It's just, you know, you get greedy. You're like, oh my gosh, look at my portfolio. You know, it's at like 400 grand. Oh no, my portfolio is at 300 grand because, you know, and I only invested 100 grand, you know? Right. So like, people see the volatility. So they always say like dollar cost average, buy in more at the bottom, dollar cost average, buy more on the green candles up, dollar cost average. Even if you buy some at the top, you still buy in a different range. So you don't lump some, sell at the top, you know, sell at the top is the goal, but you don't lump some and like, you know, exit out when everybody else is exiting out, and you don't like buy in when everyone's like
buy 100% sell at every time, right? You want to go like, oh, I'm going to buy, I have $100 to buy in. So you go $5 today, maybe $5 next week, and you move it around, or you go $5 every day until you reach that $100. And then when you're looking to sell, you can go, oh, I'm going to take $10 out. That's my $10 profit. I'm going to go take $5 out next week. I'm going to take another $10 out the week after. You don't go all at once, because then you're not setting yourself up for success. You're taking everything off the table, and you're going to go back in at a worse position than you were. You want to keep consistently adjusting your portfolio, but taking out profits here and there rather than all at once, and then you're just left with nothing.
Right. And hint, hint to all the banks, institutional and large players in the game who have invested a lot of money into crypto. Same thing. You don't buy in big lump sums. You don't sell off lump sums, because hypothetically, I'm big player A, right?
Right.
And I bought in 100 million in crypto. Okay. So I'm holding my portfolio. I get skittish. And if I sell my whole, like, say I sell 50 million of my portfolio, I sell half of it. People are watching me sell the half. I just caused a market reaction. I just caused other people to sell. Right.
Right.
Because I'm a big player and everybody's watching me. Just like when people watch a CEO sell their stock, they all get skittish. They're like, the CEO's exiting, they're selling their stock, you know, maybe it's time to go. Well, everyone's going to watch. You're going to have a market reaction because you sold off a big chunk. If you're going to sell in small increments, profit taking, because if you dump the stock, or you dump the price of crypto, or you dump the price of gold because you did a large transaction, everybody watched you, you just affected the rest of your portfolio. So yes, you may have profited on that 50 mil, but your remaining 50 mil that's sitting in your account value just went down drastically because you, number one, dumped the chart, so you made the price go down. Number two, people were watching you and then they sold off, which made the chart go down again. And number three, then institutions and other people watched what you do and then they sell off and makes the price go down too, because everyone goes in emotional and reacts based on that. So if you are a top holder in crypto, if you're an institution, if you're a business, if you're a financial company, and you have a large portfolio, think of the effect that you're having on the rest of the market when you do an action. Like, the cause and effect of your action, the reaction that happens in the market, will affect your personal portfolio, not only in crypto, but the rest of the financial market. So you just tanked your portfolio by trying to be profitable and selling off a lump sum. And we know this because we watch charts all day and we see it happen in meme coins and altcoins and BTC and ETH and in financial markets and stocks. When a CEO sells all of their money, like their whole entire options or their stocks, as soon as they sell them off, everybody's watching, they're going to dump the stock, which just devalued their company. So
exactly.
If you're going to profit take, take small amounts in increments, sell into a green candle, not on a red knife down. Sell small amounts so you don't affect the market, because you're not just affecting ETH or BTC or altcoins or stocks, you're affecting all of it because they're watching and the market reacts. So when we have a pullback in the market, it's usually a couple key players that trigger it, and then everybody else emotionally reacts. So be conscious of how you're buying and selling and investing. And if you practice it as a small investor now, and you realize that you buy in small increments and you dollar cost average on the way up, and you sell off small increments on your profit on the way down, you're going to be a great trader when you're a billionaire and you know how to move the markets and not dump them, but encourage them.
Exactly.
So something to think of. So I know this was a lot of DYOR, NFA, do your research, not financial advice, but stop like staring at the tree, look at the forest, see your cause and effect on how you are playing out in these markets. Don't just read charts, listen to news, study economics, study politics, see what laws are being affected, see who like loves to say something to trigger a market. When people are saying things to trigger a market, it's people are on the sidelines waiting to get in at that lower price because everything's on sale. Well, everything is on sale right now, right?
Right.
It takes just a couple big sells to like trigger the market, and then it triggers it across the board. But watch who's getting back in when you all are like screaming, the sky's falling, the sky's falling.
We're going
and
down.
If you're holding long-term, you don't have to be subject to this chaos and this emotion. And if you're trading small and you're watching what's going on and you're taking your coffee money, you can watch what happens and see it play out. And you're going to be able to see the forest and not just that single tree trunk and listen to everybody else.
Exactly.
So, this is me on my pedestal. go ETH.
Go
we're still
ETH,
optimistic.
Yes.
There's so many reasons why we're optimistic. So go ETH long-term. Go ETH. We hit.
I can only see upside for ETH.
We're at 3,300 right now. Go ETH.
Go ETH. Oh my God. Now, we're up since we started.
That's right. Go ETH. Think about, be conscious of what you do, conscious of how you trade, invest at your risk tolerance, and realize how certain key players affect the market. And then they should also take responsibility how they're affecting the market. So go ETH. Aloha.
For your portfolio. Aloha. Yes. Yes. I'm not in Hawaii, but I will take part in the alohas.
Aloha.
Aloha, everybody.
Okay. So we'll see y'all next week. Have an amazing up November.
November, yes.
Up November. Okay.
Yes, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.